Well, hello, internet friends near and far. Welcome to another episode of Parks and Conversation. And this is a podcast where we watch an episode of Parks and Recreation, and then we talk about it. And I'm Jason, and I'm joined all the way across town by the power of the internet by my friend Jeremy. Say hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Jason. How's it going?
Oh, man. It is so good. It is a beautiful day. And we get to talk about a pretty fun episode of Parks and Recreation today.
Yeah.
So, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm excited for this episode. I think it is, it's funny.
Good. Good.
And it's comedies.
Yes. This is season 7, episode 5. The title they have is Grizzlebox.
I like how you say that. The title they have, like, just wait till you hear mine.
Well, we've never actually used their title for our episode.
Right. Because ours are better.
I wouldn't say better. But
ours exist.
I mean, our last episode title was Saxafart, so I was that's probably that wins.
I mean, that's
peak podcast titling in my podcasting career. So illustrious podcasting career, I should say. I draw things. So, I just draw the sound waves.
Draw
when I'm done. So that's why it's illustrious.
Some
it's like illustrated. People are like, oh, is that a book? And I'm like, yeah, look at this. I'm like, what is this? It's sound waves. You read them. So there are three stories in this episode. We have a conflict with Grizzle. We have April at conflict with herself and the future. And Andy facing conflict with his contract with Hank Montauk at the local public access TV show.
There's a lot of conflict.
So much conflict. And they even bring a judge in. Not a judge, but Purd shows up to make peace. He doesn't really do anything. But anyway, let's attack this thusly, Jeremy. We'll talk about April's story, and then we'll talk about Tom and Andy, and then we'll hit the Grizzle conflict. How's that sound?
Sounds good. That sounds great.
Great. I mean, we agreed to it before we hit record, but I just wanted the listener, if they're watching this like section by section, mm-hmm. like if they've downloaded it, not like our podcast, but downloaded the episode and then run it through like some kind of video editor so they could splice it together so that they could see how it all fits together without being interrupted by different storylines.
Like a supercut.
Like a supercut. That's the word. Yes. I just wanted them to know what we're doing, and I'm giving them a little bit of time to do that here. So now they should be done. So, because video editing is easy, right, Jeremy?
Super easy.
Anybody yep. can do it.
Anybody can do it. That's 100% true.
Yeah. So let's talk about what's going on in the building in City Hall. April is accosted by Craig. We haven't seen Craig very much. Just last episode, we found he came to find Ron had stretched out his yoga elastic. So now he's back. And he asks April to do a welcome speech for the new Parks Department interns. And April says no, which frustrates Craig. And Jeremy, how does Craig handle his frustration?
He begins listening. We don't know what to. He starts saying random words and phrases, mm-hmm. such as watermelon martinis and exposed brick and Carrie Russell's hair.
Yeah.
Who's Carrie Russell again?
Carrie Russell was Felicity.
No, I know. I just, it was for the listener.
Oh.
I don't want to think like I was like a huge Felicity fan.
I was not. I just remember her ads and her hair. Because I think she was mm-hmm. also like a Garnier. Shampoo. Yeah, was it Garnier? Like yeah, a shampoo so. Model
See,
at some point.
I don't know who it was, but hey, she pitched some shampoo.
Yeah.
Because I watch TV and I remember commercials.
I worked at a drugstore and uh-huh. she was on the boxes of
Carrie like, Russell hair. All was the time.
Hair was a shampoo, but did she also do like hair coloring? Like I just remember seeing her everywhere. When I was working at Long's Drugs in Total Washington.
It's big hair, so maybe it was just like one picture of her. Just
Yeah, maybe. She's also in The Americans as the wife. I can't remember any characters' names anymore, but yeah, they're spies. She's a spy. She's a Russian spy. So that was a good show as much as I watched of it, and then I got distracted. Jeremy,
it happens.
Speaking of getting distracted, on a side note, we're currently in the situation where the writers and the actors are going on strike.
Yeah, we didn't
like Hollywood. I didn't do it. I didn't cause. I mean, I stream, so maybe I'm culpable. But is it bad for me to say that part of me is like, oh, I can catch up?
That what?
That I can start catching up on some stuff?
No, I think that's okay.
There's so much stuff. Like, I want to watch, and they just keep making more of it, and the strike can slow some things down. And like, okay, I'm going to watch some new stuff.
Okay, ultra side note. What are you looking forward to most about catching up with?
Well, I need to watch For All Mankind. I hear it's awesome.
Okay, that's an Apple TV show about astronauts.
Yes, I need to watch other things. Okay. That's the main one that I'm thinking about.
No, it's Stranger Things.
Oh no, that's halted because of the strike. I need to watch Foundation. I need to finish season one, and season two came out today. You know, like those kinds of things that people are like, "Oh, you got to watch this." I started Dark 2 years ago, and watched one episode, and it's in German. I was like, I'm gonna have to actually focus on this. When am I gonna have time for that? Now's the time to learn German. So once I learn German, then I'll watch Dark. You know, that kind of stuff. So
okay, good.
What about you? Are there things that you are looking forward to catching up on?
Yeah, I also need to catch up on Foundation. But I'm mostly frustrated that like Severance is being delayed, because that's you know, Ben Stiller, Adam Scott show we've talked about a little bit, and it's awesome, and I'm excited for it. And so as far as catching up goes, it feels more like, well, I guess I'll watch this until something, you know, what I really want to watch comes out. So yeah, that's
all right. Okay, well, April asked Craig, get back on track, why did you say those weird things? And we learn that Craig is now seeing Dr. Richard Nygaard, and as he's explaining this, the camera cuts to April, and she stares at the camera going, oh no, another one.
Right.
And these are things that make him feel great about being alive. April is just grossed out by all of it. But he convinces her, and she's going to go talk to the interns. And then we have a talking head where she says, like, when I was started, I was 20. She was actually 19. We learned earlier in that series. And now she's old and gross and directionless. And so these kids are like her 10 years ago, and this is the internship is the videotape from The Ring. And so she's like, it's too late for me, but I can save them. And she looks into the conference room where they're all sitting and just yells, you're all going to die in here. So that's a good first day, or interview day. It's fun. So then she goes and she starts talking, and, she's like, all right, let's get to know each other. Talk about why you're here. Whether you're throwing your lives away, stuff like that. So she points to one, like, what brought you here? And the guy's like, I'd love the Parks Department, grew up at Ramsett Park. And like, okay, that doesn't help me. And then she points at this curly haired child, like Mork. Now Mork is a reference to Mork and Mindy. That was, Robin Williams, like big break, on television. And Mork had big fluffy hair.
I love Mork and Mindy.
It was a weird show.
I had the rainbow suspenders, man.
I'm Mork not surprised by that at all.
Don't worry about it. That was my phone.
I've been over there. You okay?
Just trying to find my suspenders, man. Come on.
Oh,
they're in there somewhere.
The suspenders were holding up your microphone. He's like, it's actually Mike. April doesn't care. And he's like, I've been a summer camp counselor since I was 13. And April's grossed out about that. And then she points at this, the girl in the room. What about you? Why are you here? She said, the only thing I love more than parks is recreation. Which was like, that is probably the funniest thing I've heard so far. And April's like, really? No, I just need the college credit. And so they start having like a too cool for school millennial conversation. And so April's like, what are you studying? Nothing. College is stupid. And what made you do it? My parents. So that kind of thing. And then so April sees a lot of potential in that. She says, I feel like you have almost zero potential. Let's take a walk. So they go to the cafeteria. And April tells Jen that this whole internship leads nowhere. What do you love doing? And Jen says, texting. I just don't understand anybody who says they love texting. And like, what did you want to be when you were little? A scary mermaid that lures sailors to their death. And then April's like, well, I'm going to try to adopt you as my child to keep an eye out for the paperwork. But don't do this internship. Go do something fun. Like, learn to control birds with your mind, or posting internet comments as Michael Jackson's ghost. So they leave, and then Mike comes like, hey, we finished those questionnaires that you gave us about our hopes and dreams for this internship. And April takes it from Mike, crumples it up, and throws it away. Like, thanks, Mike, and walks away. So April is doing her best to do her worst. And then she goes, because she was summoned by Craig. And Craig's like, can you tell me where Jennifer is? Like, that convinced her to quit. And then he starts saying, Martha Stewart's apron line, my tomato plants. Oh, God, I'm out. And so he has to find his emergency list. And April is like, look, I wasted 10 years of my life. I don't want these kids to make the same mistake. And then Craig points out, like, you did amazing things here. And your greatest teacher in this or any business was Leslie freaking Knope. And and so you have this great opportunity to do something good. And if it wasn't for this, you'd be a checkout girl at a gas station. And he's like talking, he finds his list, sweet potato pie, unlikely animal friendship pairings, Jennifer Love Hewitt. It's like, you're lucky to have worked here. And I think you know that. Now I have to go find a new intern. And so he really makes April think here. So then later, April is in the park's office, and there's a bunch of people behind her at the reception desk. And she goes to find Craig, and he's like, she says, I found you a bunch of potential new interns. And I thought, what would Leslie do? So I handed out flyers and I canvassed the college. I even baked a bunch of cookies. It was weird. But she, I actually enjoyed finding them, and I enjoyed bullying Jen into quitting. Good to have your passions. And so Craig points out, like, you should just list telling people what to do to your perfect job description. And April's like, that's great. You should up your therapy to 7 times a week. Stop dressing that way and give me your wallet. Craig responds, Victor Garber, James Garner, Jennifer Garner. I go alphabetical now.
He's getting better. I mean, therapy is really paying off.
Yeah. Well, if anything we know about Dr. Richard Nygaard, it's probably not Chris, but also, like, people really take what he has to say seriously.
They very put seriously.
It into practice.
Yeah.
And so
he gets results.
If you were one of those Nygaardians, if you had to do a list of things that make you happy to be alive, like, what would be the items on your list?
Oh, heavy sweaters, naps, and nighttime.
Just those over and over again? That's the whole list?
Well, those three things.
Okay.
I can come up with more later when I'm not on the air. What are yours, Jason?
Reading, a coffee, and Coke Zero. Those are my three. Teriyaki.
Yeah, that's good.
Costco pizza.
Pizza.
I love pizza so much. Donuts from a Vietnamese family.
Henry's Donuts in Everett.
Oh yeah, Henry's is good. You are actually close to one of the best Henry's, one of the best donut places, though. You live close to in Mount Lake Terrace. It's not far from your house. I don't want to give the name so our listeners don't like wait there for you again.
No, not so much that. It's that then they eat all the donuts and there's none left for me.
Yeah, I think donut people. People of donut.
People of donut. Listen to my voice.
I think the people who provide donuts to the masses are the smartest people in the world because they're like, we make this much, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, we're taking the day's done. Let's go
you
do something else.
At 1:30 at a donut place, and all that's left is like the glazed twist, and they just look at you like, we're not making more.
Yeah, and there's like four napkins. That's it. Good luck.
Do you want some coffee that we started this morning?
Yeah.
At 3 a.m.? It's a little crunchy.
It's solid, but you know. Yeah. I think in another life, I would own a donut shop.
Yeah. I think in a different life, I would want to be a vampire who owns a donut shop because then I'm up at night anyway. Like,
yeah, but
they
the whole
have terrible
vampire
hours.
Thing. Yeah.
So I just got to work somehow into like where it's like normal for me to be working those hours. Like, I'm not there yet. Like, I can only aspire to that. So, yeah, I don't really want to be a vampire listener. Just FYI.
You just want all the benefits that come with it.
Yeah, immortality, being able to turn into a bat, staying up late. Yeah, but I don't really like blood at all. So, right.
It's probably been done. That would be a really funny character, like a vampire who's really squeamish around blood.
Oh, I'm getting lightheaded. Here, drink this. What is it? But it's blood. I'm getting worse. I stabbed myself like with a knife accidentally. Nobody do a wellness check on me. I was cleaning something.
What were you cleaning?
I was cutting up. I was weed whacking last weekend. And I was cutting the junk that gets caught in the weed whacker, you know, so that it didn't burn out, like, cause that works harder and harder. And then it gets really solid in there. And so I had to like cut it, to get it cleared out. And I was using a knife and it slipped and it like, I stabbed my hand, just like a poke, but so much blood started coming out. I had to sit down. I was like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do? I was home alone. Like, am I going to die? So I was fine.
Because you're okay now, so I can laugh, but.
Yeah, that's exactly how
I had to sit down.
All of the internet works.
Everything
that person fell off their roof as they were jumping into the swimming pool and broke both of their legs. But I'm sure they're okay now.
They're fine now.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But I am fine now.
All right, okay, good.
I mean, it hasn't all the way healed. Anyway,
did you get a fun like Band-Aid or anything?
Yes, skin colored. My favorite one.
Yeah.
So that's April's story. Let's talk about Tom and Andy's story.
Okay.
Andy and Tom are like best friends in this future Pawnee. They hang out all the time.
They are.
Tom has some new food for Andy to try. So Andy's sitting down and it's like a spaghetti type dish. So it's a pile of pasta and Andy starts eating it. The camera pans up so that you can just see the top of Andy's head as Tom is reading the description. And this is how long it took Andy to eat the whole thing. It's a red and white heirloom red bean pasta with an imported Tuscan walnut herb sauce infused with shaved heritage pecorino romano. Pan down, plate's empty. And he's that was really good.
Yeah.
Tom is doing these new dishes because Lucy is out of town and he's trying to distract himself with work so he doesn't think about how much sex they're having with her boyfriend in Conrad in Chicago. Andy was like, oh, you know what? You got to take your mind off of them. And he's like, do something for me. Essentially, he gives Tom the contract that they're asking to sign for the TV station, for Johnny Karate. And, Andy's like, they want me to sign this, but they want to own the character to Johnny Karate. But I want to own it cause it's me. Mm-hmm. And so
I think he's afraid that they're literally going to own like him.
Yeah, that is like, a strong possibility.
Like I'm going to have to live at the TV station now.
Yeah, it's like, but I'm married. I have a three-legged dog. Like, there's so many things. I'm
just bought a house for Werner Herzog. Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. So he's got his eyes on like a shed, a old hunting cabin out in the woods, thinking about buying that, to maintain the William Henry Harrison. So Tom's lodge. Looking at it. Yeah. Hunting lodge. So Tom is looking it over. He's like, they only pay you $100 a week. And Andy's like, yeah, but I just goof around and I write, produce and direct. I act and then I do sets, props, wardrobe. I drive everybody else home. So, I mean, $100 a week, it's pretty fair. It's not.
That's a bad deal.
This is exactly why the writers and actors are going on strike. This is the reason.
Because of Johnny Crotty.
Yeah, because they're taking advantage of people. I don't know.
It probably doesn't even, well, it's AI. It's all about AI.
It's AI and streaming royalties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. So Andy convinces Tom to be his agent. Tom volunteers to be his agent and Andy's on board. So they go to the meeting with Hank Montauk. The meeting's right after Andy films up an episode of Johnny Karate, super awesome action adventure hour or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Burly is playing puppy hating Dan and all the ninjas come in and they bring puppies in front of Dan and he admits to everything and Burt Macklin wins again. So then they go to the meeting, with, Hank, who is played by
Dax Shepard.
Is it D-A-X or D-A-K?
D-A-X.
Dax Shepard. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like a Dak, and then you like pluralize it.
Mm. What do you think Dax is short for?
Multiple Daxter.
I was thinking it was short for Rolodax.
Daxtifer. Daxtholomew.
Let's do it. So Daxtholomew Shepard is playing Hank Montauk. Now, Daxtholomew Shepard is also married to Kristen Bell, who was in the previous season. So the whole family's getting involved in this. It's a family run operation over there at Parks and Recreation. So Hank's opening argument is, I can't do this because I don't have any money. So let's make it quick. And Tom's like, look, Andy's show is huge ratings in three cities. It has his Grizzle 2 page has millions of views. And if you don't want to take his show over to the rival station in Snurling, I think you should start talking seriously. And so, all right, you're well to do. I'll upgrade the parking spot. But my son gets a role as one of the kid ninjas. Mm-hmm. It's going to drive my ex-wife crazy.
So he gave up one thing, like he gave him one thing and already asks for something else.
Yes. He gave up one thing that actually doesn't cost him anything.
Right.
Upgrading a parking spot. That means like you're one spot closer.
Sure.
Maybe. But Andy was like, oh, that sounds good. Like you could see in his face, like, wow, what a good deal. And Tom's like, all right, so far, but we're in the words of Jerry Maguire. Andy responds, the human head weighs 8 pounds. No. Show me the money. And Hank's like, do you have any idea how lucky you are to work here? I'm a king maker. Pip Wiley, Chuck Warshank, Selena Gomez. I made them. And you discover Selena Gomez. Different Selena Gomez. So he's like, I don't have money for a raise. And he's like, yeah, you do. I've seen your profits. And Andy starts making $500 a week now. And he's like, get out of my office. And so Andy, because he's a golden retriever, gets up to start moving. And Tom, the most strong-willed, determined Tom Haverford I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's like, just sit down. And yeah, Andy sits down.
He's in agent mode.
Yeah.
This is a negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they are continuing to do the negotiation and things have gone on. And so we cut back to them. And it's like, all right, here's what I can give you. No more janitorial duties, better parking spot. unlimited Mike and Ike's from the vending machine, and for a salary, we're at $500 a week. Andy, 500 what's dollars, man? But the real negotiation piece is like, what about the rights to Johnny Karate? And Hank's like, nope, we own that. I can't bend on that. And so Andy's like, I invented that. And so Hank's like, well, just make up a new one, like Kung Fu Billy, Jeremy Punch Guy, Ed Kick. He's like, those are pretty great. Ed Kick.
I thought the great joke here also was like, okay, no more janitorial duties. So like when he was listing off all the things he did, he neglected to say, oh, and I'm also the janitor.
Right.
Like, one more thing that he doesn't have to do.
Yeah. So, and unlimited Mike and Ike's too. I mean, right. Like they're both pretty stoked about that one. Do you like Mike and Ike's?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're probably not my go-to, but, my wife likes them. And so sometimes they're around and I'm like, I'm not going to say no to it. I don't know which one's which. So
which
I just
one's Mike, which one's Ike?
Yeah. I don't know if they're flavored or what their story is, but they're good. The tropical one, like once they get really, like the classic is good. Once they get fancy with some of them, they just, I don't know, then it just tastes like all the other candies, in my opinion.
We're going to make a candy salad. You mix them
all
up.
Basically. Yeah.
It's basically just like a jelly bean, right?
Yeah. But longer. It's like a longer, it's like a pill.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like if there was a horse pill that was also a candy.
Oh, that you can chew.
That you can chew. Yeah, it's a chewable horse. Chewable.
So it's children's horse pills. So
chewable. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I don't like them.
Did you ever play Dr. Mario?
Always.
Yeah, that reminds me of Mike and Ike's.
But
I know they're not too colored, but you know, still. It was just, yeah, pill shaped.
There are times when I start like singing a song. And I'm like, what is that?
It's like, oh, it's Dr. Mario.
Oh, it's Dr. Mario. I got that for my fourth birthday, my fourth grade birthday. So I was 10.
For Game Boy?
No, for Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, lucky.
And it was snowing that year. And so my party was going to be outside, but it all ended up inside.
Oh. It sounded like a punishment. Like, so it was snowing, so my party was outside.
Yeah. It did not go well. So we were inside. And so like I received Dr. Mario for my birthday. And so we open it up and start playing it right away. And Lauren Turner was so good right away. And it made me so mad.
Lauren! Were you mad that he was good or that his turn took forever and then you couldn't play?
Both.
Yes.
It's like, can you just die already? It's my birthday.
Seriously.
It's like how many times I've said that?
I will be happy.
Anyway, I prefer Good and Plenty over Mike and Ike's. And I know that's a controversial take, because I really like black licorice.
Yeah, that's apples and oranges, but it is another slightly pill shaped.
It's a pill shaped candy and it actually looks more like a pill and tastes more like a pill.
It's true. It's true. So,
anyway,
take your Good and Plenty.
They walk out.
I think the thing with Good and Plenty is that it's the crunchy candy shell with the soft licorice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
It's like we're taking the good things about M&Ms and making it the licorice shell. Instead. So the shell, the chocolate's played out. You can get chocolate anywhere.
It's all about licorice.
Where are you going to get a tiny little bit of black licorice to hold you over?
Yeah.
Put it in your Tic Tac box. Really mess some people up. What is this?
My breath is not fresher.
Yeah, Tic Tacs did nothing. The other day, I needed some breath mints because I was going to do a public performance of sorts where I'm doing a lot of talking. When I do a lot of talking, my mouth gets dried out. And so I need breath mints after that. And so I was looking for like a small container of Altoids at a Safeway. Could not find any. So I had to buy the big Altoids. Mm-hmm. The other option was Tic Tacs. but I did not want to be a rattle machine all night, like walking around with like every step being.
Yeah, is that maracas?
Thank you.
That's an interactive piece. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So Andy and Tom walk out and Hank is like,
Altoids is that the tint. No, I'm joking. Keep going.
Yeah. No, it's all good. So Hank is saying how he won 6 lower Great Lake Emmy Awards and he once sat in the original Batmobile. James Wood follows my niece on Twitter and he's going to regret this.
You don't even know.
So, yeah, I don't think he's going to regret any of those things. So, Andy, later comes to Tom's restaurant. He's like, hey, good news. I think I found a job. There was an opening for a janitor at the TV station. Get this. They're going to pay me the minimum wage.
Hey.
And Tom's like, put your mop down. I got you the rights to Johnny Karate. He's like, how did you do that? And he's like, just a great agent, I guess. And then cut to Tom crying in Hank's office. Saying, please, Andy's my friend. I want to do a good job. And there's this girl I really like, and she lives in Chicago, and she's dating someone. I just feel like, and Hank's like, oh, stop. Do you want to eat at my restaurant for free every week? You can come once a week. It's free. And Hank's like, okay, fine. Just stop. And so cut back to the office, and Andy's like, see, I told you it was all going to work out. That's actually really good advice for anything. If there's something you want badly, you just have to believe that it's going to work out. And Tom is like, yeah, good. Interesting. So then cut to, as we're getting closer to the end of the episode, credits are rolling here. Tom is in the wine cave at his restaurant. Cellar. Wine cellar. That's the word.
his wine bunker.
Yeah. And he's, Lucy comes and he's like, how was your trip? And he's like, well, it was okay. Kind of weird. And she says that she broke up with Conrad. And so then Tom like plays it cool. And he's like, well, do you want to talk about it? And Lucy's like, not ready to talk about that yet. And so she's like, I do want to sit down and have wine and talk about the shade that Nicki Minaj threw at Jesse Eisenberg at the BAFTAs.
Woo.
So they sit down and they start their relationship again over this conversation. I don't know what Nicki Minaj did to Jesse Eisenberg in 2017 at the BAFTAs. But I
think
I wonder,
it was probably for like Now You See Me 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have.
I never saw any of those. Am I missing anything?
I mean, there's nothing profound about them. It's kind of a heist style movie, group heist, like The Italian Job with, you know,
or Ocean's Mark 11 Wahlberg,
or Ocean's 11 ish, but yeah, with magic, like sleight of hand magic and big performance magic. Yeah, there's some fun bits in it, but it's not like, oh my gosh, you have to see this movie.
All right, I won't. I just don't like commands like that. Now you see me. I just read it wrong, I guess.
So, watch those commas.
No, I don't. I'm not going to see you. So that's Andy and Tom and Lucy and Hank Montauk.
All right.
Dax Shepard. Yeah.
So those two, like, for this episode, which is interesting because I think this storyline right now, like, obviously the main storylines throughout the episodes, up, down, you know, good, bad.
Okay.
I forgot the other word. Yeah, I couldn't. The opposite. Good, better. I was going to say better. Anyway, this is like one of those episodes where it's like, okay, this is a good episode so far. Like, you know, there's some funny bits and everything. And then even with this storyline coming up, it's like, oh, okay, whatever. And then it gets so good. And I know that we're just jumping ahead, but this, I was like, oh, it's an 8.1 on IMDb. And then I remembered kind of the end, but it really hit like at the end, like it's really good. So knowing that it's coming, I don't know. It's the conversation portion of it where I'm excited for the storyline because it's like the main one. And it's fun.
Good.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm saying words.
You are. And I'm really proud of you for all of that. That was great. You. Good job.
Let's get into it so we can get to the good part. Because the good part's at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's. So the Leslie and Ben, the show episode starts with Leslie and Ben trying to figure out how to take down Grizzle. And they've got a conspiracy board that they're working on. Mm-hmm. They realize it's impossible. They don't have any money.
One of their options was leveraged buyout.
like how?
Exactly. Act of God? Question mark.
Yeah. Buy out Grizzle. Okay. So yeah, so they've got billions of dollars and Leslie has no money, and her big her pitch basically to the Newport family is, please give us the land. It would be so nice. So that's hard. And then, so she's feeling down in the dumps, and then, they, hear a ring on the bell, the doorbell, and they go out and, open the door, and there's a drone from Grizzle there. And I was like, Ben, we're about to die. The robots have come for us. I made fun of you, but you said it would never happen, but your novel has come true.
Your novel.
And then we hear Mike's voice from Grizzle. Hey, Leslie, no, please enjoy this free gift courtesy of Grizzle. So Ben's like, oh, now they have flying robots giving presents to everyone. So then the thing takes off later. That would be the worst part of the drone delivery, I think, is if it talked to you. Like,
or ask for a tip. Like, that's what I'm saying. Tipping culture is getting out of hand. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have these robots asking for, did you like the service? Please, you know, buy me a cup of coffee or spray of oil or whatever it is that.
Whatever it is robots want other than our souls.
Want, yeah, or medication probably. Come steal all of our.
This is how I get them though. I just give them good and plenty.
No.
They're like, what is this? It's ibuprofen, bro. Oh, good. And they take it and they're like, nah, nah, it's sticky licorice. Ha ha, the day is mine, Terminator.
That's how, if only they had thought ahead. They
yeah, could have if, defeated if only,
Skynet with candy.
If only John Connor's friend / past dad came back to the future with like some good and plenties and they started giving it to the robots, like, here, eat this. They'd be like, they would die of shock. So yeah. Or if he just never came back at all, then he never would have gotten John Connor's mom pregnant, Sarah Connor. So who's at fault now?
Yeah, he should have just like gone on vacation. Hey, I'm just gonna go to the past and not do anything. Or just don't go back.
Yeah.
We could get into there's a lot of things we could do.
Yeah. Terminator really falls down pretty quickly. Like, one thing. Why, when you travel through time, do your clothes fall off? Because John Connor came back naked. Terminator came back naked. Do they go into the machine naked?
It's the rules of time. Well, yeah, because you don't want to get fused with... I mean, they saw The Fly.
Is The Fly about time travel?
It is not, but you go into a machine.
It's a different machine.
It doesn't... But you go in and then you come out, and if there's something in there with you, whether time's involved, if it's a machine and there's fog, then bad things can happen. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Okay. I guess. So you go into the time machine and mm-hmm. you're like wearing like shorts or underwear and like, sorry, you don't want to be fused with underwear.
Right.
You don't want to turn into living underwear.
No, I think they just don't want to give away like bad fat. Like, they have future fashion. They don't want to show up and not be in fashion.
How has underwear really changed? Is somebody going to be like, wait a second, you're covering that now?
Oh, hey, you're naked. You're right on fashion.
You are a blank canvas, Mr. Robot. And then it's like, give me your leather jacket and your pants. Like, what? No. And then he kills him.
Yeah.
And then he like red eyes them.
But if he had shown up in future clothes, everyone would have suspected him of being a robot.
Yeah. Okay. That movie is bananas. So, where are we at?
Flying robots giving presents to everyone.
Yes. So then Donna shows up, and she's like, I need to talk to you, Leslie. These Grizzle fools have crossed the line, and she got one of the boxes. Leslie, yeah, I got one, but I haven't opened it. I was going to send it back with a sternly worded letter, about how I cannot be bought with free gifts. And Donna's like, these are my free gifts, 2 honey bears and a canister of sugar plums, which are the nicknames that Joe and Donna call each other. And Leslie's like, oh, that's cute. But Donna's like, yeah, we're adorable, but this is creepy. And it is creepy. If my phone...
Have you ever had a sugar plum, real quick?
No. I mean, no. Is it basically just like a raisin? Like a prune?
like a giant. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. They look like, I don't know. I haven't either. So I was just asking. Anyway, so you were saying.
I'm glad we could both talk about our ignorance. I've also never time traveled, but I have plenty of thoughts on that.
Sugar plums.
I mean, I have time traveled just one way at the rate that everybody time travels. To get more into that,
but if everyone's time traveling,
podcast I cut off.
Tune in last week.
Yeah. You were saying if everybody's time traveling, is it really traveling? Yes, we're all on this journey together on Spaceship Earth.
Okay.
So, yeah, but Donna's like, this is creepy because we only call these things in the phone, on phone or in the text. So how do they even know? And so Leslie opens the box. Ben's like, open your box. And so inside is Joe Biden's book, Biden the Rails, 1001 poems inspired by my travels through Amtrak's Northeast Corridor.
1,000?
yeah, that's like 1,000. and also a poster of the Supreme Court justices sipping the Friends milkshake. And she's like, this is perfect for me. And Ben's like, they must be data mining. And so they're searching through our emails and gathering profiles on all of us. This is a huge invasion of privacy. And Ben's like, when we did the Wi-Fi deal, I made sure they couldn't do this. And Donna's like, well, I never would have agreed to work with them if I'd known they were going to be doing this stuff. So if you want, she says, you want to put me on blast? I'm going to put you on Front Street. And Leslie, I don't understand what that means, but I think I get the context and I love it. So they do a town forum. And so Leslie comes in and we're here to discuss Grizzle and whether or not they're invading our privacy. And one of the people stands up and is like, they sent my husband 3 boxes of genital cream to his office. My husband's splotchy genitals are no one's business except for his, mine, and his many genital doctors.
Everybody claps.
And he's right there. Yeah. So and she like leans over like, it's okay. It's okay.
It's crestfallen. Like, oh man, everybody knows.
And then a guy named Pearl stands up. Like, they sent me a bunch of toy pigs dressed like movie stars. That's my private hobby. No one knows I collect the toy pigs dressed like movie stars, except now all of you people. Mm-hmm. And like, which one is that? It's actually Hamuel L. Jackson from the Pork Fiction. It's extremely rare and I am keeping it, but still. Then another one is like, I opened my box in front of all my friends and it was a bunch of Virginia Woolf novels. Now Miley and Haley know I like to read. What if they tell Evan? And then the guy who starts Chance, his name is Chance. he stands up and they have Grizzle has no right to search our private data. And let's like, wait, so you guys are with us on this? And he's like, we're not against you on this. We're not against you on this. We're not against you on this. And I think that was the title that I was thinking of going with. But so Leslie's like, wow, finally we have a way to defeat Grizzle. And the town's behind us. Donna's on our side. The next domino to fall is Ron Swanson. So they go and she's doing this talking head and she's holding one that a pig with a mustache, which is Tom Selloink. But, you know, close enough. And Pearl comes like, I'm going to need that back. So they go and they are having a meal at JJ's diner. And Leslie has so many scrapbooks, one for every month of every year that they haven't been friends. And so this one is February 2016. And so they are going to be looking at pictures such as dentist, Sonia tries pizza, and water park vomit chain reaction. And Ben's like, why would you take a picture of that? Why would you not? And Ron comes with one picture of his son at a recent moment in his life. And it's just a kid with a stump behind him, like a tree stump, mm-hmm. with an axe in it. And I think he's holding a gun. Les like, oh, how cute. And he takes it and Ron takes it and rips it up. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, protecting my son's privacy. I don't want anybody just to see a picture of my kid. And so Donna's like, well, funny you should mention that because that's our next topic. And Ben's got another binder full of things that they are calling Grizzle out on. And so Ron looks over and Leslie is a talking head like, when Ron finds out what Grizzle is doing, he's going to lose his mind. Cut back to the table. And Ron's like, I have no reaction to this. he's like, I just build buildings. I don't pass judgment on businesses. And frankly, if you're foolish enough to carry around a doodad that lets Grizzle track your every move, that's what you get. And Ben is like, that's illegal. And we're like, I don't think they are. I'd spent a lot of time with their lawyers and they seem to do, as they say, keep it 100. So then Don is like, well, they think I still work for them. So I can get you a private VIP tour. Maybe you can snoop around. And so they snoop around in costume. Leslie and Ben, who have been working publicly in this city for many years. Mm-hmm. Ben is wearing a fedora and Leslie is wearing glasses. Those are the costumes.
You work for Superman.
I guess, but they're neither Superman.
I'm Batman. And
Leslie introduces, Roscoe comes like, hey there, homies, I'm Roscoe. psyched to give you guys a tour. And then Leslie's like, hello, I'm Darlene Johansson. And this is my assistant turned lover, Gregory Strong. Ours is a new romance, but one that shed shockwaves through my architecture firm. But it feels so right. And Ben is like, steady, like, roll it back. So Roscoe's like, all right, let's do this tour. Let's get loco. And Roscoe's talking about how, like, this building is lame, but the new headquarters is going to be way tighter. And they show an app that is called Grizzle Vibe that monitors your mood. The guy who's talking about it is like, as you know, your cameras are always on. And Ben's like, what? and he's like, this app uses facial recognition shockwave software to track your expressions. It's always watching. And if the camera senses you're in a bad mood, then we could go geomatch you, say your nearest cup of sweet pick me up Java. But if you're in a good mood, we could geo nudge you to like a sweet coffee shop. And Ben's like, so it's just a coffee sales app? Like, yeah, we're developing with Starbucks. So Leslie's like, so Roscoe, how does Grizzle know all the things that we want? Are we like, you know, I don't know, like data mining or whatever? And Roscoe's like, oh yeah, dog man. He's like, our algorithm searches all your texts, calls, banking, medical records, blah, 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 to learn what you really want, from snacks to books and movies. And when you ladies need to score some new pawns, worst. And Roscoe's like, I mean, we might know you better than you know yourself, Leslie. Leslie, how did you know it was me? And Roscoe, in like 40 different ways. And so he starts listening to all the things. It's like, and we face scanned you when you came in. We're really glad you're here. And he's like, well, just because we're competing, Leslie's like, doesn't mean we can't be friends. Like, right. Isn't that your motto? Wouldn't it be tight if everyone was chill to each other? Totes. So Roscoe's like, I mean, there's nothing scary about Grizzle. I mean, we just want to learn everything about everyone and track them wherever they go and anticipate what they're about to do.
Forever.
And I was like, these are really interesting issues, Roscoe. I think maybe we should debate them on, you know, TV. It's like, excellent. Retro. I'm out of here. And he takes his iPad and he puts it on like a little skateboard thing. He's like, I'm going to Grizzle pad out of here. Skate mode activated. And it takes off. So then we cut to debating on TV at what comes to find out is the Purdpool's Court, a legal debate show about issues facing residents of Southern Indiana. So Purd comes out and it's doing like the People's Court music and all that stuff. That was such a good show. I watched so much of the People's Court.
Man, those after interviews in the hallway, when things got spicy.
How do you feel about Judge Wapner's decision? I think he's really missing the mark here. And I think my niece owes me $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she ran over my Maltese.
Niece comes out and is like, my aunt is crazy. And I hope everybody could see that. And then aunt comes over and like hits her in the face. It was fun.
Next on Jerry. And they just walk right onto the Jerry Springer set.
Yeah. Yeah. excuse me. Sorry, everybody. So they, Purd, introduces the show. It's like, tonight on Purdpool's Court, we have guests that have been booked for tonight's show. the plaintiff, Leslie Knope, who has some big allegations against Grizzle. The defendant, Grizzle Vice President Roscoe Santangelo. Who will win? I don't know yet, which is what makes this a court show. So Leslie has a talking head. It's like, we have public opinion on our side. Grizzle's been data mining. There's one thing we need: public humiliation on live television. Mm-hmm. So Ron comes like, Leslie, do not go on television. And they're like, what are you doing here? He's like, and Ron's got paperwork, which is surprising that Ron did any research on this. And Ron's like, this is the 27th version of the Pawnee Grizzle free wireless internet thing agreement. Check out the page mark. Ben opens it. He's like, yeah, it says they can't data mine. And then it's like, well, look, there's a Amendment C, Addendum 14, which directs you to this appendix, which reroutes you to this one, which says in a sub footnote, and Ben is following along. He's like, it says here they can gather and use any information they want. How did I miss this? And Leslie looks at the date, and it's December 18, 2015. Jeremy, what happened on December 18, 2015?
Episode 7.
Of?
The Wizard Boy movies comes out.
Yes. Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Episode 7. And Ben had been insane, muttering that date in his sleep for months. Like, they knew you'd be distracted. That's how they slipped it in. And he's like, oh, it's all my fault. This is Ice Town all over again. And then Ron is like, is Star Wars the one with the little wizard boy? I love Ron. And so Ben is now like, oh, what would I do to the town? All this work, everything I've done, it's all a wash now. Everyone's going to hate me. And Donna's like, some of us are already there, Wyatt. And Les is like, Ron, talk some sense to him. And Ben, he's like, Ben's right. This is Ice Town all over again.
And this is right. This is what starts to ramp it up at this point. Like, there's bigger conflict than just these little interpersonal things. Ben kind of has the town now in a bind a little bit. And they do have the support. But, you know, Donna's mad at Ben, which is great. And now Ron's on board. So it's like the team's coming back together for this thing that's bigger than any one or two of them. So.
Yeah. Ron's not totally on board yet because he points out, you know, if you're going to sign a legally binding document, you need to read it thoroughly. Right. That's why the only contract I've ever signed was my Mulligan Steakhouse Club card. And even then I used a fake name. Less vegetables.
Just cracks himself up.
This is Ron lying. And it's the only time that we know that Ron lied, but it's hilarious. So then they get to the court, and Purd is purding pretty hard. Now Leslie, I understand that you brought some of the show isn't a box of objects, but rather a symbolic box of allegations. And Leslie's like, well, Purd, it's Judge Purd. And not then on the bottom, it's like, not a judge. It's like, okay. I think there are certain questions about certain aspects of certain parts of this situation that require an evaluation about whether or not this is or is not a valid argument. Purd, extremely well put. She's just trying to stall, and Purd's like, yeah, good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So Ben bursts into the television proceedings and says, like, look, I'm city manager. What Grizzle is doing with our private information may not technically be illegal, but it's definitely not chill. And Roscoe's like, whoa, that's a serious allegation, homie. We're hella chill. And frankly, if you don't like our vibe, you don't have to use our shiz. Ben's like, we kind of do. The internet is no longer optional. Everybody needs it. And I think you do know that data mining isn't chill because you snuck it into the 27th update of a 500-page user agreement. And Ben's whole argument is like, you should not need a legal degree to just be able to use common things. Purd is like, to be honest, Judge Purd is stumped by this case. I also, and when he says Judge Purd, is not a judge. I've also misplaced my judge hammer. As a gavel, I cannot render a verdict here. Therefore, I must declare a mistrial, which is a term I've heard people use in the movies. Tap, tap, tap. Case ended. And the director comes out like, all right, we're clear. And Roscoe takes off. So they kind of dodged a legally binding bullet on that side. In the credit scene, they're back home, and Ben is still pretty distraught on what's happened. They got their kids to bed and they're trying to figure it out. And Ben's like, I'm just sorry. I couldn't find something illegal on Grizzle. If we're going to stop them, we're going to need to beat them on the Newport land. We need more ammo. And then the doorbell rings again. It's dark. It's nighttime. And they go out there and Ron is there. They open the door. Ron's standing there in the rain with a shotgun and the corpse of a robot.
The corpse.
and he's holding it like it's a hunting trophy. He's like, this is a flying robot I shot out of the sky after it delivered a package to my house. And Les's like, I thought you didn't like the past judgment. And he's like, the package was addressed to my son, who is 4 years old and does not own a grizzled doodad. Somehow the robots looked at Diane's computer and learned something about my child and then brought him a box of presents. So I destroyed the robots. No one is safe. Tell me what to do, Leslie. I want to help you take them down. And that's the end of the episode.
So epic. Like, yeah. Everything I was like, but from before, and it just was this epic scene with Ron on the porch, and it just gave the whole episode so much more like gravity and pull for what's about to happen through the rest of the season. I know it's a setup episode, and some of the other storylines are like, oh, cute and whatever, but this was like, all right, we're getting into the end game now. This is great.
Yeah, I just loved the drama of this scene. Mm-hmm. Like the way it's shot, it's in the rain,
the lightning, the thunder.
Filthy.
Yeah,
he's totally dirty. He's like there's like moss on him. Like he's so filthy, he's shot down a robot.
Yeah, there was definitely like a Predator-esque scene that happened. That we didn't get to see, like Ron is just hunting this thing through the woods, you know.
Yeah,
you imagine him almost missing the first shot, and it's slightly wounded. Now he's taking off through the woods to finish this thing off.
But if you remember, like where are Ron and Diane living?
Right, I guess they're not in the cabin anymore.
Are they living in Diane's house?
Probably.
Which is, as we remember, when Andy and Ron went to go fix Diane's driveway area, like outside her house. Like it's just in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Like it's just like,
okay. So
really, from downtown.
So then it's just Ron running down the middle of the street with a shotgun.
Yes.
Trying to take down this rope that's slightly wounded.
Yeah. Like he like clipped it on the side and it's like, I got cool. Roscoe's voice like, I gotta get out of here. Layers.
Not chill, dude.
And Ron is just like the firing down the street at a robot. And it goes and hides under like, it goes under an overpass and like hides in like the water through thing, whatever that's called. And Ron is there. He's got like his night vision goggles on and he's like covered in like body paint because like, I'm going to hunt the beast. If you want to kill the beast, you have to master the beast inside of you. If you want to take down the robot, you've got to master the code inside of you. And he's like next level hunting. He's like, it all comes back though to when he learned to hunt a video game.
Right.
With Donna.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, this prepared him for that. Every episode matters.
Video games matter, kids. If you keep building those skyscrapers in Minecraft or whatever it is you do in there.
In Tears of the Kingdom, there's building options now.
Nerd.
Oh, it's so good. And I saw a video of somebody who made a lowrider. And they did like a clip compilation to make a music video with a Snoop Dogg. It was so good. It was so good.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Brilliant. This is an episode. I really enjoyed the end. The credit scene itself with Ron and Leslie and Ben is just some of the best Parks and Rec, because there's a whole story that we didn't see. That, as you can hear from our imagination, listener, it was pretty cool.
It was epic. And I love when Ron is all in on something. Like when Ron actually, because he's so passive and so like, whatever, don't care. But once he's like in on something, you're like, oh man, it's going down now. You got Donna and Ron. Like, mm-hmm. Grizzlebox doesn't stand a chance. No Terry, Larry, Jerry this episode.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody else was really, really solid in this. I felt actually could have used a little more Donna. Next week we've got Save JJ's.
Oh yes. Dennis Feinstein's back.
Dennis Feinstein.
Oh, the worst human being.
So good at being the worst. Yeah, can't wait. Is that the one with the where Johnny Karate goes?
Yes.
With the ninja. Okay, good.
Yes.
Yeah. That's and then the one. It says Tom has a surprise gift for Donna.
Is it a treat yourself?
Maybe. The last.
I think it's a treat yourself.
The last one. Okay. Well. Yeah. Well. Also, tiny trivia for this episode: it was directed by Leslie Knope.
Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
That person. I'm
trying to stay in like universe, but yeah. Amy Poehler directed Grizzlebox.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her. I think she's going to be all right.
Yeah, she might make it.
Yeah. We'll see.
So.
All right.
Well, okay. go enjoy your good and plenties, and we'll catch up next week.
Yes, you go enjoy your Mike or Ike or both. Mix them up.
Okay.
All right. Well, listener, we'll talk to you later. If you have any questions, you know what to do. Email us, parksandconversation@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment or review or whatever wherever you listen to this. I'd love to see that. But I don't know how to find those things. So I'll just trust you're doing it. Okay. Bye.
See ya.